Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here tonight, amen. Made it through. Amen. Made it through the rain. Yep. Praise God. Over the roadways, the wet roadways.
Amen.
And we're here, praise God, to learn something. Teach us something tonight, Lord. And we're going to continue, amen, with our Bible study. We're talking about ministry that brings the blessing. That God loves it when we serve other people the way Jesus modeled it for us to serve. And we talked about how much God esteems ministry. A couple weeks ago, last week, we talked about how ministry is not convenient. Shows up, people with their problems show up at the wrong time. My show's about to come on. You call it. I was just about to go to bed. You ringing my bell. Yep, wrong time. I don't have time for this right now. But that's when we get tested, right? And it's you know, and we've all been there. And some of us have passed the test, and sometimes we didn't pass the test. No one had 100% record when it comes to that, except for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And tonight we want to talk about moving off of, you know, that it's not convenient. That ministry is not convenient. It's not going to come up in, you know, in our perfect schedules. It's going to interfere with our life. Amen. And now we want to move on. Okay, what happens when it interferes? Well, we're going to have to really have a desire to serve other people. If you don't have a desire to serve other people, man, that problem can come up at exactly the right time for you. You have nothing going on. You don't have any other appointments. But if you don't have a heart and a mind to serve other people, it wouldn't matter. You still wouldn't do it.
Right.
Even if the conditions were perfect. You know, there's some people like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing right now? Nothing. Can you do this with me? Nope.
Yeah.
Because they just don't want to do anything for anybody but themselves. God says those people have their reward. Amen. But the real reward comes when we serve other people. So we have to have a heart for that. So we can't be thinking that. That's what we were talking about last week. Sometimes we say, I'm going to serve when the kids are grown, or when my money gets right, or when my life gets together. But if you're waiting for a perfect time, that means your heart is not really desiring to serve. Because if you're desiring to serve, you know there's no such thing as a perfect time. But you know that people need you right now. And that's all that matters. So we want to talk about that tonight, amen, that having that heart to serve. And again, we want to look at the scripture that we've been studying, Matthew 14, of the feeding of the 5,000. We'll read a few verses there, and then we'll go on from there. Let's pray first, and then we'll begin at Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Father, we thank you. And we bless you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Father, we ask you now to come into this place and bless us with your presence. Speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Lift us up to a high place. Teach us those things we need to know. And Father, bless us with understanding. Father, we thank you right now for the release of an anointing in this place that we may receive that which you have for us. And Father, we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're in Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to start reading at verse number 13. And we're talking tonight about having a heart and a desire, a mind to serve other people. Before we do that, before we look at the scripture, if asked and if inclined to answer honestly, if someone said, do you have a heart and a mind to serve other people? what would be your answer? Do you have a heart and a mind to serve other people?
Yes, most of the time.
Yes, most of the time. Okay.
I say yes, and I have a problem with saying no.
Saying no to doing things to people. Okay?
I say yes.
You say yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can't be yes and no.
Choose.
Maybe one more than the other. And maybe a little bit of both, like as Sister Nell said. What'd you say? Most of the time. Yes, most of the time. So?
Sorry, a little bit of both?
When? Who wins out? The yes or the no?
Which one is more?
Not the same.
We'll take that as a no.
I think that's a good assumption.
See? Gotta take that as a no. Because it's going to be either more yes, it's going to be yes, or... Alright, so... Alright. So... Does God want... If someone said to you, well, yeah, but that's okay, I got to take care of myself before I can take care of somebody else. What does the Bible say about that? Like, what would you say if that was what I said to you? I gotta take care of myself before I take care of somebody else. What is it that the Bible says to us that maybe would put that in question? Did Jesus take care of himself? Okay. What would Jesus do? That's what you're saying?
You know, like when a Samaritan crossed the street so he didn't have to help somebody that was in need.
He helped them, you mean?
I mean, he helped them.
Yeah, the others crossed and did, right, the right. Levite and the... And
they all...
Right.
He made it a point, and that's how I feel. It's like, but nowadays, people take my kindness as a weakness and prey on me, and I get sucked in and don't even know it.
We'll talk about that if we have time. But that's the thing about serving. It puts us in a vulnerable position. And I believe that's why God so values it. Because you're giving up your ability to protect yourself. Because by putting yourself out towards others, you leave yourself exposed and your affairs exposed, right? Because time that you use to help somebody else is time that you could be using to apply to your own life. And you're leaving that exposed. You still got the chores to do. You still got the project. You still got to go to work in the morning. You still got, right? But yet you say, I'm going to go help this person. Well, see, God now knows, okay, you gave up yourself, and you have all these things behind you that are exposed. I'm going to help you with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, for those who may say, well, I got to take care of myself, remember what the lawyer asked Jesus, right? What are the two greatest commandments? Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, or your soul, or your mind, or your strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So when someone then says, well, I got to take care of myself. Well, see, that's the way you love yourself. You love yourself enough to take care of your stuff. Well, if God says love your neighbor as you love yourself, then you need to be taking care of his stuff too.
Right. There's a dichotomy. That's a dichotomy right there. You've got to you need to know when to balance that hourglass, so to say.
Of taking care of yourself and taking care of somebody else.
Right.
No question. But the thing is, we have to understand that that's part of the command. See, the commandment wasn't take care of yourself.
No.
He didn't say love God and love yourself.
Right.
He said love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's sort of like the way that the scriptures talk about how a man is supposed to love his wife. Right? He said that you love your wife as you love your own body. He said no man hates his own body.
Right.
Right? So what does that mean? If you're going to take care of yourself, then you got to take care of your wife in the same way. The same thing here. So if you love yourself and you will do for you and put yourself in the best position and all those things, then you should be able to do the same thing for somebody else. Alright, so let's look at the scriptures. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, the it being that John the Baptist had been killed, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And it was evening.
Didn't we do those verses last week?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Bible study, but continuing from last week.
Yes, sir.
And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Okay. Amen. Alright, so let's talk about this. We're talking about having a heart to serve, right? Last week we were talking about how ministry is not convenient, right? That Jesus wanted to be a part by himself. He heard this bad news, and then the people came around, and, you know, it's not convenient. It wasn't perfectly timed, but that's how ministry is. Now let's move on to having this heart and desire to serve. And let's look at the disciples, right, who were with Jesus, and you know, we look at their reaction to the fact that Jesus has been teaching and healing and sharing the kingdom of God with the people. But now it's getting late. And his disciples say, "Listen, Jesus, we're way out in no man's land. It's starting to get late. Folk are hungry. Send them home so they can go get some food. Get them out of here. Let's go. Time to go home." And here's the thing. The disciples know it's late. The disciples know the people are hungry. But all they want to do is send them on their way. Have we ever done something like that?
Mm-hmm.
We know somebody's in a situation. We know exactly what the need is. And our whole thing is, I'll see you later.
I got to do me.
Yeah, I got to do me, or I certainly don't feel like doing you.
Mm-hmm.
Not right now. Uh-oh, here he comes. Uh-oh, here she comes. And so they don't have a heart then to get out there, and they see the problem, but they don't want to address the problem. And we all find ourselves there sometimes because life is, you know, we're not at our best all the time. And there's times that we're tired. There's times that we have a lot on our plate. And there's times where sometimes we just say, like, maybe just a little selfish at that time. I'm tired. I worked hard all week. Right? Sometimes we can become desensitized. You know, you ride the subway train in New York, or you know, and you hear all the time the people come in. And, you know, this has been going on for a number of years now. But before, they used to just ask for money. Now they tell a story.
Or sing.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not talking about entertainers, though. But yeah, there's some entertainers, they sing, they play some music. But those who tell the story will say things like, you know, they'll talk about they just got out of the hospital. Or they'll say, you know, their message will be, I could knock you over the head, take your money, but that's not what I want to do. So I'm just asking for some money. So why don't you give me some? That's literally what they're saying.
Wow.
I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to get in any trouble. I'm not here to try to do this. I'm just leaving, right? That's what they'll do. But their appeal is sort of like, I'm not going to be a bad guy, but give me some money. Right? And then, you know, you get off the subway, you walk down the street, and there are people with their cardboard, and they're asking, right? And it's all around. And so sometimes we can almost become desensitized, and they just become part of the landscape that you don't really pay attention to. How do we get there? How did that happen? Do we get accustomed to it? Do we turn off a switch? I can't help everybody. How do we get there? Where we know what the need is, or do we add up the math and say, well, if I gave money to everybody on here, I'd be begging for money to get back home. Do we ever look at people and decide that they should do something for themselves? You ever made one of those? Where you look at somebody and go, you can do it for yourself, or you know somebody's situation and you just figure, well, you need to get yourself together.
Get a job.
Get a job. Healthy. Yes. You're healthy. Go to work. They're hiring at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are there times when people are just trying to sponge off of this? No question.
Oh, yeah.
But are there times, other times, when people are legitimately in need?
Yes.
Of course. And how do we then discern the difference?
It's like you're judging them just based on what they say or what they look like.
So how do we make the right call?
God, asking. I think God just like might tell you when you look at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have to be guided. We have to be guided, right? Because we don't know. We don't know, right? The man standing outside the store, we don't know if he's going to go in and buy a sandwich or he's going to go in and buy a beer with the money we gave. We don't know. But he's saying, I'm hungry. Right? So what do we have to rely on? But our hearts need to be in a position of, okay, Lord, what should I do? Right? And this is where I believe our relationship with God has built up over time. Every day, reading His Word. Every day, praying. Every day, spending time with God. Where now, on the fly, you can ask God a question like that. Okay, Lord, what should I do? And you can learn how to hear His voice. But see, if you don't spend time with God, you don't bother reading His Word, you don't have time to study, you don't want to take God seriously, right? Then you ain't gonna know how to hear His voice. You won't know how to hear His voice. And you're gonna, and I'm telling you this, there comes a time, especially for every believer. That's why sometimes people who think they're saved but think they don't have to develop a relationship with God, they're gonna have a problem.
Yeah.
Because there's gonna come a time in every believer's life where you're gonna run into a jam. You're gonna run into a situation that's bigger than you, that you can't handle, and you ain't got nobody to call. And you're going to have to ask God, and you won't even know how to hear. But when you develop that relationship, you can ask on the fly, Lord, what should I do? You can stand right there in front of the person while they're talking to you. You go, okay. Inside, you go, Lord, what should I do? And you may hear the Spirit say, don't do it. So what do? You walk away. Sorry, I can't help you. Can't help you. Then at other times, you're walking and you say, sorry, can't help you. And by the time you get 20 paces up the road, you hear the Spirit of God say, turn back around and go get some. Right? And you got to turn back around or you sit over here, cross the street, and go back. But here's the key. At least you ask the question. Because at least you're now saying what? It's not what I want to do, Lord. It's what you want me to do.
Through me.
Yeah. Right. And you're willing to be a servant of the Lord that somebody else gets help. But if you don't ask the question, if you make the judgment call, and as you said, you just decide, well, I'm not helping him. Maybe your heart is not inclined to serve. These disciples here, their hearts weren't inclined to serve. Send them away. Right? They're hungry. Let them go get something to eat. But get them away from me. Get them away from us. The day is late, man. We need to be on our way, Jesus. We look at verse 14 when Jesus saw the multitude. It said he was moved with compassion toward them. And that's what he had that the disciples didn't have. Jesus had compassion. How would we describe or define what compassion is? Sympathy in action. What's sympathy? Yeah, sorry for them. Because empathy is like feeling their pain. You can empathize with them. Sympathize with them, you know, you feel sorry for them. I'm so sorry you're going through that. That's why we give them what? Sympathy cards. What do you say else about, what did you say though? In action. And I believe that's one thing about compassion. Compassion always has action. I can feel sorry for you while I'm watching television. Yep. I can feel sorry for the guy who broke down on the side of the road in the snow while I keep on driving. Well, I sure feel sorry for him. It's cold out there. I sure feel sorry for him. And then it's followed by, glad it ain't me. But not all the time. Sometimes you're sorry for someone and you do. Mm-hmm. Right? Do something. But I think that's when you start getting out into compassion. You're getting out of sympathy and you're getting into compassion. Because compassion, you see what it says here? Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. I like that. Moved with compassion. Because compassion always moves. Compassion never stays with where the person is. Compassion moves. In Mark chapter 1, you don't have to turn it. In Mark chapter 1, the leper comes to Jesus in verse 40 and asks him, if you will, you can make me clean. And it says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. See, the compassion always leads to movement. Jesus was moved with compassion, touched him, and healed him. In Luke chapter 7, the widow of Nain, her son had died, and there's a funeral procession going on. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 13, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, or the coffin, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. See, Jesus couldn't stay where he was. He had compassion, and he went over toward the casket. He had compassion on the leper, and he reached forth his hand and touched him. Right? He had compassion here on those who, you know, were on this mountainside, and he said, I gotta heal them, I gotta teach them, I gotta help them. And see, that's what compassion, that's where the action comes, right? When you have compassion, it's followed by some action. That's why we should rejoice when we read Lamentations. When it says, you know, that his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. What does that mean? God's not feeling sorry for us. Right? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. So the Lord is working for you. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. That's why we should be happy. Because his compassion is not, Lord, I sure feel sorry for you. You know what I mean? That's not how concrete every morning. You imagine if God felt that way about it. We woke up, sure feel sorry for you. No, because that's not what compassion is. Compassion is action. And then when we realize His compassion is filling up, they're new every morning, that means God is ready to spring into action for us all over again.
Yeah.
Every day, He's ready to spring into action for us as we start our day. That's why we should be happy about that verse, that His compassion is filling up, new every morning. He's ready to come unto us. Because compassion, He always moves towards us, and come toward us, and to help us in our situation. But that's how He is. But don't you think that's how He wants us to be? Now, does this mean you have to give up all of what you do, and your goals, and your pursuits, and everything else, so that you can live a life that's totally dedicated to helping other people, and you don't do anything but you don't brush your teeth, don't comb your hair, you don't go shopping, you don't go to this, right? You don't clean the car, you don't take a shower, you don't buy new clothes, you don't watch television, you don't sleep. Of course not, right? You still have to, right? It's not about that. But when God blesses you to see somebody else's problem, that's what I said. When God blesses you to see somebody else's problem, are you more inclined today than you were last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, to spring into action? Or are you more inclined to sit on the sideline? The disciples wanted to sit on the sideline. And that's not the right reaction. And we're disciples too, and we shouldn't sit on the sidelines. That's why we should reach out to people as the Lord leads. You said something earlier about being nice and generous and doing for people, and
take the kindness as a weakness
and take advantage of it.
Take advantage.
Been there.
Done that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing about it. Because why? There are some people who will readily take advantage of someone else's generosity.
You want that, the discernment, to be able to discern.
Yeah, that's why we need that. Because then you can say no with a clear conscience if that's what you need to say. Because you know you're doing what you believe the Lord would have you to do in that situation. You know what? You can say no without blinking, without stuttering, flat-footed. Sorry, can't help you. Why? Because you checked in with the Lord. Lord, what should I do to you? Right? But the Lord says to move, then you move.
Yeah, without any excuses.
Boom. Yeah. Hopefully, we do that. But then we're obedient. Right? But, yeah, so that's the thing. Because someone will say, well, wait a minute, I don't want to be taken advantage of. Who does? None of us want to be taken advantage of. But that's why we need to check in with God. Right? Because God will help us from being taken advantage of. I tell you this, there are times when I'm just speaking personally, have given to someone and it didn't really sit well with me. Like, I checked with the Lord. Sometimes you're not sure. Even after you check. You're not sure. Right? And then, but if your heart is more towards giving, that might win out. But here's the thing I say. You know what, Lord? I believe, because I don't know, right? I believe that that's what I should have done. But here's the thing. If not, you got to trust that between God and that person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That God know how to take care of that. Right? And if your heart was in the right place, okay, that you weren't trying to enable, you weren't trying to lord it over someone, but you really did have a sincere desire to help, that even if it's wrong, God can make a miracle out of your mess, and God can correct your mess and help you, right? And even, correct that person who may have been trying to take advantage.
Well, remember the old cartoons where you had the angel on this side and the devil on that side?
Mm-hmm.
Talking back and forth, trying to tell you what to do, trying to remind you this, then he'll counteract this. Mm-hmm. You got this battle going on up here. And
that's the thing. And here's the thing when it comes to giving of your time, of your money, of your talent, of your resources, that it could be the Spirit of God saying to you, go give that person. And it could be the enemy telling you to go get that person, because the enemy tries to deplete you. You know what I mean? He tries to deplete what you have. But that's why we have to trust the Lord. We don't come into this being afraid of missing out or losing out. Because we understand something as a foundation. God wants us to serve. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. God wants us to serve. Here's the other thing we'll say is God takes it personally when we serve. Right? Because when Jesus said that, you know, when he comes back, and he's, you know, he was telling the parable of the king coming back and saying, you know, or the Lord coming back and saying, come with me, those who serve me. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, right? He said, when did we do all that? Right? And Jesus said, what? When you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. You did it unto me. So Jesus takes it personally then when we help other people. He says, I'm taking you helping someone in need as the equivalent of you doing something directly for me.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
It is, right?
That's right? A wow moment. That's a wow moment.
It really is. You did something for somebody who is in need. Jesus said, I take that personally. Thank you. Right? That's why in the book of Proverbs it says that we should lend unto the poor. And it says what? God will repay. Why God repaying something that you gave to somebody else? Because he takes it personally. Right? He takes it personally.
Yeah.
You give to the poor, God will repay you.
And that's what the world calls karma.
Yeah, they can call it right. They can call it what they want. We know better.
I know.
Right? We know better. We know that this is God saying, I take this personally. You look throughout the scriptures. God always talks about it. When he talked to and chastised his leaders, the kings, the prophets, the priests, he said to them, you didn't take care of the orphan, the widow, the needy, the poor. I'm telling you this, God, I don't want to, God hates selfishness. When our concern is primarily and almost solely on ourselves, God don't like that. And again, it goes back to that man who wanted to build a bigger barn. Selfish! All he cared about was having in his fun and enjoying his life. Selfish. So Jesus lets us know that God takes it personal. When you do it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Then what happened? He said to the other one. He said, the rest of you got, you're going into outer darkness. You're going into hell. Why? Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was in prison, you didn't come. They said, what did we do all that to you? And he said the same thing. When you did it not for the least of these, my brethren, you. That's why we want to ask God, should I help? Because if we make a decision and say, I'm not helping them, and we were wrong. Right? And Jesus said, you didn't help me. And you go, what do you mean I didn't help you? Well, remember that guy who was standing on the corner? Right? Our default position when it comes to helping other people should be what? Right. You know what is one of the best ways to get a positive response from someone? They say, well, you work in human resources. I don't know if this is part of what you guys train and teach or whatever, but I've heard this when it comes to customer service and everything, that what's like one of the t- to me, they say it's like the top question you ask someone when they come to you or you're dealing with them, so that they understand and can feel good about you and whatever services you want to provide. They say the question is, how can I help you?
Standard question.
Yeah, but it's a question that they say is a question you should ask. Not what do you need.
Right, right. What can I do to help?
Not what are you here for. Do you find anything you like? And you see, a lot of times even sales people come out there. Do you see anything you like? Mm-hmm. No. How can I help you? Right? When you say that with a sincerity, because people want to be helped. By and large, especially when they have a problem, especially when there's something that needs to be solved, especially when they have to accomplish something, they want to be helped, right? And so that should be our default position, right? How can I help them? I remember when Christian was small, right? And we'd be at the house, and he would always come around. Can I help? Can I help? No matter what you were doing, he'd go, can I help? You remember you used to say that?
Yeah.
Can I help? That's what you want. And I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. Why? Because when someone's willing to help, you go, okay, come on. Mm-hmm. You receive someone who's willing to help. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I was small and Christian is now, but I learned the lesson early. There were times my mom would go to the supermarket, and this is, days of the shopping cart. Yeah, you took the shopping cart to the supermarket. You know that shopping cart was you could use it for multiple purposes.
Multi-purpose
machine.
Yeah, that's right. Because you carry groceries in it when it was shopping day. And when it was laundry day,
and when it was going to Columbus Market
day, you put your laundry in it. And when the kids had nothing to do, it was a gold cart. The shopping cart it was multi-use apparatus, right? So when my mom used to go sometimes to the supermarket and she come back, sometimes they sit there watching cartoons. And she come in with the bag, so I'm just still watching the cartoon. Now that's what my dad told me, and he didn't tell me politely either, that I see my mom carrying the bag, you help. I only had to be told once. Right? And then it becomes all that. I see it, boom, give me that. To the point now, even with my wife, she got something in her hands even to this day. Give me that. She said, I can carry it. Right? But then where's that spring from? Because you want to
help.
But you need to help without thinking of something in return.
Exactly right.
And notice
we didn't say anything about what you get back.
Right.
Other than we said the Lord said, I will pay. That's what he said. But you don't go, okay, Lord.
Yeah. Put your hand
where's mine? I'll get to him, but where's mine? No, absolutely right. If you're going to help, that's why we're talking about the heart. Because your heart has to want to help without you thinking, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. And your heart wants to help because you know God wants you to do that, and you really believe, not my will, but your will be done. That's how you're living. And if you're really living that way, then you're doing it out of obedience and love. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so you're just keeping the commandment of God. You're showing love to Him, and you're showing love to someone else. And those are the two best commandments that Jesus said, right? Love God, love people. So we want to have, and if we're going to be the disciples and that Jesus wants us to be in this day and hour, we can't be like the disciples back then. Not in this regard. Who just simply says, send these people on their way. We don't get rid of people. I know sometimes we wish, nobody knows. You wish you had a magic wand where you get whoosh, make him come back in a couple of years. But you can't do that, right? You can't make people go away. So what you have to do, you know, check in with the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Amen. And this is not, it's an easy to say. I'm going to say that right now. We're going to leave them in a minute. This is all easy to say.
But hard to do.
Sure. Why? Because the situation is going to arise in the calmness of a Bible study. It comes during the hectic pace of your day and of your life. And so then you find yourself making decisions on the fly. But this is where our study and our meditation and our prayer and our fellowship with God comes in, because He helps us to slow down in situations like that. He helps us to be more in tune with Him day to day and as we go about our day. That's why I think it's so vital to stay in contact with God as you go about your day. You got to stay in contact with Him as you go about your day, because then you'll know when you're faced with something, you will be more, you'll develop the habit of looking up. Lord, what should I do? You know what I mean? You might not actually look up, but you know what I mean? In your spirit, you're looking up. Okay, Lord, what should I do? Amen. And then we get into that, you know, you get ready to do something, you finish one chore. No, you should do, okay, Lord, what do we do next? Yeah. You write your gratitude to do list. Maybe ask the Lord, what should we do today, Lord? And then have Him. And then you write down your to-do list. But you know, we take it all on ourselves. We know everything. We just go about our day. You know, you might say a little fast prayer in the morning. Might read the verse of the day. Might not. Because what? We got this. Send you on Sunday.
We tell people on Facebook, we'll pray for them. Did I tell you the thing, Pastor? I saw you looking at your watch. When I was...
this was that my watch?
I saw you look at your watch one time.
If I did, then I knew we were over time, because we are.
I remember the Grand Crusade in Tampa. That was in 70...
Uh-oh.
76.
Okay.
And to be a counselor, you had to go to training. And they gave us these little red stickers. And it was supposed to go in the center of your watch. Most of us had analog watches back then. And they said, anytime you look at your watch, then pray for the crusade. That was their gimmick, if you want to call it. Well, I couldn't wear... Well, they didn't have rubber watches back then. It was a metal watch, right? You couldn't wear your wedding ring because I worked in electronics. So I said, how am I going to do this? I put the little red dot right there. And you know how many people asked me what that red dot was on my...
No, head? How many? How many?
A lot.
Okay. And you told.
Yep. And it was an opportunity.
Yeah. Right. And here's the thing about opportunities, and we're going to close here. And the opportunities to tell people and to share with people and to help people are all around us. Many of them are presented by God. Not all, I don't believe. Amen. But many of them are presented by God unto us because He desires us to be a help in that situation. And that's why it's vital, as we said earlier, we have to check in with Him so that we can discern whether we should move forward or not. Because not everything that crosses your path is for you to deal with. But perhaps more things than we would otherwise be inclined to get involved with, God wants us to be involved with. And He doesn't want us to be like the disciples in our passage tonight, who want to be dismissive of people who have help, who have needs. But He wants us to be more receptive to those who have needs. And know that God will help us help them. Amen? He will help us help them. All right, He's going to help us to continue this on next week. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray. So we may be back again next week. But
yes, sir.
So if I read the same scriptures,
I just...
you know what's going on.
Yes, sir. No questions asked.
So we're going to continue with this.
If we only get one verse at a time, then we have to do one verse at a time.
There you go. And we do one word at a time.
There you go.
It's all good. Amen. Let's pray tonight. And then we get ready to leave. Father, we thank you and bless you for our Bible study. We thank you, God, for what you talked to us about tonight. And that is having a heart and a mind to serve other people.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus was a servant leader. He served people. He served us. He continues to serve us today, even though he is Lord of all. He intercedes on our behalf. He helps us in our situations and circumstances. And you have made us to be like him, conformed to the image of the Son. So, Father, we're praying tonight for hearts that desire to serve other people. God, we ask you to forgive us of those times that we have been selfish. We ask you to forgive us of those times that we have been disobedient. Forgive us, oh God, of those times when we didn't even bother to ask you what it is that we should do. And, Father God, as you forgive us, strengthen us, oh God, to go forward in the future, being more mindful and sensitive to your heart, to check in with you, to see what it is that we should do whenever we come across a situation where someone is in need. But Father, our desire and our default position is we want to help. We want to be of service that you may be glorified. We want our light to so shine before men here on earth that they will glorify our Father who is in heaven.
Yes.
And so, Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for just helping us, oh God, to have the heart of Jesus. A heart that desires to serve. And Father, we heard your voice. When we do it for the least of those among us, we are doing it as unto you. And Father, it is our desire to serve you. So Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. God, as we prepare to go, we ask you to just guide us safely over these wet roadways one more time. And Father God, just give us safe passage to our homes. Let your blessing continue to rest upon our homes on tonight. And Father, we continue to lift up praise and give you thanks, for you truly are worthy. We love you and we give you all glory. In Jesus' great name, amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.